earth, and sky.
Every day the waves are a little different. Every day the currents are different. Every day the salinity of the water, depending on how much rainfall there was, tastes a little different. And then you see these marine creatures that are so robust and resilient, some of which have been around since the dinosaurs, or certainly their ancestors have been. And you try to think about how they persist in this very unforgiving environment. And yet, at the same time, with all that going on and all of that unforgiveness, there's such a great peace when you're in the water.
You're listening to Aulani Wilhelm, who oversees conservation management of Hawaii's Papahānau Mokuakea Marine National Monument. And this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. The monument houses volcanic features, pristine coral reefs, and many rare species of plants and animals. But the region also has cultural importance for native Hawaiians. Wilhelm spoke with Earth Sky from her office in Honolulu.
Okay, tell us about Papahānau Mokuakea.
So Papahānau Mokuakea is a large expanse of ocean. It's about 140,000 square miles. It's part of the Hawaiian archipelago. And Hawaii is the largest archipelago on Earth, the longest.
Why is this marine monument so valuable to people?
Yeah. Gosh, for as many square miles or kilometers as there are, there's probably that many values to people. Papahānau Mokuakea strikes a chord with just about anyone who comes into contact, either with physically with the place or with information about it. You don't have to go there to become enamored and in awe of this place. It's vast, and it has characteristics about it, both natural and cultural, that really appeal to a vast number of people. You can't really separate in a place like Papahānau Mokuakea the difference between the natural and the cultural attributes. They're inextricably linked. So for example, human beings, we tend to be apex predators. And in the ocean, there are things like sharks that tend to be at the top of the food chain that really rely on everything else in order to survive. They need a healthy, intact ecosystem. And lots of places, most coral reefs on Earth, have very limited apex predators. They've been fished out. So these big fish that require lots of energy from the rest of the food chain to feed it, when they get fished out, because they're usually slow growing and slow to reproduce, it has really big impacts on their populations. In the northwestern Hawaiian Islands, they're robust and they're healthy. And it's remarkable when you're underwater and you see these things in mass that you don't see normally in most of the world's oceans. From a Hawaiian standpoint, all of the elements, all of the plants, all of the animals are our ancestors. Some of them are aumakua, or guardians, or they're manifestations of our gods. So when we see a bunch of sharks in an area that's really unusual, not only is it incredible because it's a bunch of predators, but that's an aggregation of our ancestors. It's an aggregation of spiritual power, of mana. So the significance of that takes on a whole additional level of importance. And what we're trying to really do from a management standpoint is honor all of those things.
Papahānau Mokuakea is home to large predators. Can you give a description of what it's like when you make a dive there?
The presence of these large predators in our coral reef system is amazing, but it's matched by its level of endemism. And what that means is the number of plants and animals that have evolved through time to be unique on Earth. In the marine arena, endemism levels, when they reach rates of 25%, are striking. And on average, our rates of endemism in the northwestern Hawaiian Islands are 25%. But when you go further north, farther away from the areas, the main Hawaiian Islands that people are most familiar with, the rates of endemism in some species, like fishes, go up to 50%. So that means when you're underwater, you're encountering animals, half of which, in some cases, half of the fishes at Kure Atoll, for example, that exist nowhere else on Earth. You will never see those fishes anywhere else. In the Native Hawaiian genealogical perspective, where we came from, our oldest ancestor is the coral reef polyp. Not a coral reef, but our ancestors understood that it was the individual animal, the polyp, that we came from. And from all of that, the higher forms of life, with human beings coming much, much later, depend upon. So we have a responsibility to care for these animals and plants, not just because they have great rates of endemism or they have these all these predators on Earth or because conservation is important, but because they're our family and our ancestors. And you have a different attitude about protection when you think about taking care of your great-great-grandmother or grandfather instead of taking care of a charismatic megafauna or an apex predator. It has a level of intimacy that compels you to want to do what you can to care for this place.
I know scientists are working in this area. What are they working on? How long have they been working there? What exactly are they doing?
You know, we do the full range, starting with basic characterization and monitoring to research both on land and sea, inclusive of flora and fauna, that use, you know, basic monitoring techniques to identify new species and characterize them and look at their status, to using more technically or technologically, I'd say advanced, you know, genetics, satellite tagging, deep water submersibles, for example. And we try to go into new areas that haven't yet been surveyed. So just recently, this past year, we're pretty proud that we launched a research or characterization project into the kind of mesophotic area, the deeper diving depths, so we can understand a little bit of what's going on in those areas before they change.
What threats does your marine area face?
Yeah, well, Papahānaumokuakea, unlike most other coral reef regions or nearshore regions on Earth that are facing degradation, we have three primary threats. Our threats really are climate change, marine debris, and alien or invasive species. Those are our top three threats. So our threats are global, and our threats are caused by things outside of our boundaries. So in many ways, from a management standpoint, we are dependent on the rest of the world to see the global importance and to be willing to help us address marine debris at an international level around the Pacific. Most of the debris don't originate from Hawaii. They originate from around the Pacific Rim. We all have a role to play in terms of climate.
What can we as individuals do to help?
In my opinion, the evidence is quite clear that we're seeing major changes due to climate change. But I think our own personal responsibility is, if you don't know, well, then you need to know. And you need to find out and do a little learning and education on your own to make your own decision about what that is. And when you come to those decisions, act responsibly and take action in your own life, in your own personal world, to help ease some of those compounding factors of climate change, whether it's changing the amount of, you know, fossil fuel consumption or changing what you put into your washing machine or the kinds of products you use and where you buy them from and buying local. There's lots of things we can do. If enough people make those simple changes, it will have a profound effect. Support continued efforts and management. Let your policymakers and people who make decisions in your communities know that conservation efforts are important.
For those of us who don't live near an ocean, what does Papahānaumokuakea mean to us? What should it mean to us? Why should we care?
Our weather, even in the middle of the U.S., is driven by what happens on the ocean. The amount of protein and the amount of fresh oxygen on Earth is dependent on the health of the Pacific Ocean and the oceans around the world. And right now, as we face climate change, it's difficult sometimes for people who don't see the impacts that are already happening by increased sea surface temperatures or ocean acidification or sea level rise. It's harder to see when you're on a continent and you're far from the ocean. You're right in the middle of it when you're on a low-lying atoll or island in the Pacific. But what's going to happen to our oceans, or potentially to our oceans, is going to have a significant impact on the quality of life and weather patterns, no matter where you live on Earth, because again, we're an ocean planet. So even if you don't know how to swim, even if you're never gonna go to the Pacific Ocean or another ocean and don't live there every day, it's still your ocean. And it's still something that your life depends upon.
What is the most important thing you'd like to tell Earth Sky's global audience about Papahānaumokuakea?
Oh, before I be serious, I think the one thing people should realize or recognize is, don't be afraid of saying the name. If Disney and the Lion King could get us to say Hakuna Matata, I'm convinced the globe can learn to say Papahānaumokuākea. And that very ancient name, which represents our Earth Mother who birthed the islands, Papahānaumoku, and Wākea, our Sky Father, the Union, that's really about continued growth, birthing, procreation, and abundance and life. And that's what I think human beings, wherever we are striving for. We come on this planet to want to be part of something vibrant, something alive, something full. We have children with great faith that the earth will be a place that we want to have thrive. And Papahānaumokuākea represents that for people on earth. It's a place where life continues to thrive. And it proves against so many of the other messages of the sky is falling. When you hear conservation messages, I know so many of my friends are like, stop already, don't tell me all the bad news. Well, the thing is that there's good news too. And there's places like Papahānaumokuākea that remind us of the resilience of nature, the resilience of earth, the resilience of our ocean, and remind us that it's not absent of humans. We are part of those systems. And we have a contributing part to play and a contributing responsibility to play. And Papahānaumokuākea is one of those spots of inspiration for us on the planet.
You've been listening to Aulani Wilhelm, NOAA Superintendent for the Northwestern Hawaiian Islands Marine National Monument, also known as Papahānaumokuākea Marine National Monument. The area was designated as a protected area by the U.S. government on June 15, 2006. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Lindsay Patterson. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.